apparently what I signed up to do was to jump behind the lines with a little print box, a little printing machine about a foot square, and we would write all this beautiful destructive propaganda and somehow spread it around the Germans, and you say the war would be over. And it was absolutely the most foolish idea in the world, you know, to expect that kind of results from a bunch of guys who have to do absolutely nothing.
In other words, print up some index cards that say, please, please surrender.
Yeah, please surrender, or do you want to be the last man to die? And there's an example of one of the pieces of propaganda in here, which is I've never forgotten. And what it was that it was a picture showing, this is in German, showing a German army officer, only his jacket on, say, astride a beautiful young female with nothing on. and the language says, look, here's what this guy is doing up in the villa, and here you are down in the mud doing nothing, and get mad, go shoot him, and all that kind of stuff. I mean, that was part of the type of thing. Anyway, did that for 6 months or so, and then got into Germany after the war. So the war ended, and next thing I knew, we were assigned to go to Leipzig to set up a spy ring. I had no idea of the historic nature of what we were doing. We should go to Leipzig, set up a spy ring, get a bunch of Germans, stupid Germans, and get them to observe the countryside and the Russian army units and send back reports.
In other words, you were now, after the war, you're spying on the Soviet Union.
Yes, exactly. And
you're one of the first. Cold War spies.
From all the work I've done in the archives, and it was done as far as I can determine, we were Fred Switgall, my teammate, were actually the first intelligence unit to commence systematic spying on the Soviet Union in East Europe.
What were some of your successes?
Well, the initial success we had was our first trip into Poland in June of 1945. And say no American or Allied personnel had been into Poland on any organized basis before we got there. And we spent 10 days or 2 weeks in Poland. And Fred, from his previous Fred's family was operated textile mills in Poland before the war. The Russians and the Poles had taken it all away from them, but we had connections. We were able to develop connections, and we spent, say, almost 2 weeks there. And I have a facility being able to organize material and get things, you know, in a logical, structural way. And I put together a 24-page report on Poland, which I brought back with me, and sent to and turned it into the OSS office, which is there in Heidelberg. And this was the first organized intelligence report that came out of Eastern Europe since the war. And that we didn't know what they did with it. Turned it in, let's see. But when I went to the archive 55 years later, I found that that report or a summary of that report had been sent immediately by Donovan to President Truman, the Chiefs of Staff, and the Secretary of State. Didn't know it.
You were advising Truman, and you didn't even know it.
I don't know what I'd done if I had known it, but I didn't know, having the slightest idea of what it was all about.
Around this time, you also met a young woman.
Oh, that was the most important thing that happened. All the rest of the stuff was incidental. Yeah. When we were in Leipzig, we went into the military government building one day to get some stuff, some clothes and so forth, some that kind of stuff. And I remember it quite distinctly. And down the stairs in the building came these three women walking down, and one of them looked a little bit like a cousin of mine here. We went over and talked to them in German and asked them who they were. And they said, we are Hungarian Jews. I said, I never met any of that kind before. And so we talked a minute and said goodbye, and off they went. And she was a very good-looking girl. And I was a little bit sorry we hadn't kept it up, but that was it. You know, that was the end of it. So about a week later, I suddenly realized I did not have a German camera. Every GI had German cameras were famous, of course. And every GI had a German camera. I didn't have one. That was ridiculous. So we went looking for one, and in a little suburb of Mark Clayburg, about 7 or 8 miles from Leipzig, we had made contact with the mayor, the Bürgermeister. So we went, let's go see him. He may have some idea. We went to see him. He wasn't home. So we get out, walked back into the Jeep, started driving up, and over on the sidewalk, these three women, Yudka, her mother, and her aunt. We stopped. We recognized them. Stopped. Said hello, and that was the beginning. That was it. That's how life works, Matthew. Yeah. That ever since that time, we've been involved.
How long have you been married?
56 years. 56 years.
Mm-hmm. Your wife had actually been in a concentration camp.
She was at Auschwitz for a while, and then they shipped her to Germany to work in the slave labor camp. She spent almost a year there, and I met her only a few weeks after she was liberated in Leipzig. Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much for your time.
No, gladly.
Thank you for your service as well.
Yeah, thanks. Mm-hmm.